The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. That music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival happening from September 9th to the 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to buy your tickets for events, find out about all the events at the different venues, also get the app so you can find stuff on the fly when you're out and about enjoying the Fringe Festival. And I have a guest. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Tanner Effinger. I'm the artistic director of Breadcrumbs Productions, and I'm the director of a new show called Drag Clown.
Yeah, and that is a title that, one, does not hide what the show is. This is not a show you need to decipher the concept of. It's right there up front. And those shows are on Friday, September the 12th at 7 and Friday, September 19th at 7 at the Muck, which is, one, a great venue for this kind of performance as well. It's just it's a good dynamic venue, a good size, and really should be a great fit for what you're trying to do.
It is the perfect venue for this show. In a lot of ways, you know, this is sort of an exploratory piece where we're exploring the intersection of art forms. And Muck's space is really quite open. It's a traditional sort of black box space, and it just lends itself really well to this kind of performance. So I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So, let's dive right in, because you've told the audience what to expect with the title, but that means there's a whole world of all the decisions that go into deciding what is this show versus the rest of the practice. So let's kind of talk about the format of this show and how you ended up deriving this versus what you do normally.
Sure. I think sort of the thing that you're not going to understand right from the title, Drag Clown, is that what we've done at Breadcrumbs Productions is we've hired a team of six drag artists, and we've asked them to take a series of classes over the summer. They're professional development classes in clowning with professional clowns. Basically at the end, or through that workshop, we said, we want you drag artists, drag performers, to create something at the intersection between these two performance personas. So I think, you know, it started out with this really interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know, what's at the intersection? And then putting that into practice through this series of workshops and watching these drag artists, you know, try something new, exploring new formats, was a really interesting process. And through that, they developed content. So what you're seeing at the show is the content that they came up with. There's a series of solo scenes and a couple of group scenes that they came up with that just explores this concept.
I mean, I love that, right? And I'm glad you brought that up because that is really, that's a whole different thing, right? This isn't like, oh, and admittedly, like, hey, we're doing a show, like Lunchador, our podcast network is doing a show. We don't have months of planning in front of it. We're doing more improv style and more on the fly. But I love that this was more of a exploration of the space and like really as both like educational development. But I kind of want to step back to that because let's talk about the production, like Breadcrumb. Is that sure. part of what you do? Is it more education? Like what is the function of your group?
Sure. Breadcrumbs Productions is a small theater and creative production company which serves Central and Western New York. So we're based in both Syracuse and Rochester. We, you know, create risk-taking theatrical work. And risk-taking means a whole bunch of different things, of course. In this particular iteration, this particular production, it means the expansion of art form.
Yeah.
And we actually did something at Fringe last year that was sort of similar in the expansion of art form. We did a show called String Quartet Theater, which took this incredibly talented world-class string quartet, wrote them a script, taught them to act over a series of acting workshops, and then brought it to sort of an immersive promenade style performance. And that was really, you know, instigated. That production was really instigated by some of the performers. They were classical musicians who wanted a little bit more, something that was a little outside of the kind of straight and narrow. This idea, Drag Clown, was more instigated by me. And I was the one that tried to have to get the drag artists interested in it, you know, to try and do something new. And but we're really fortunate because this project is supported by both the Genesee Valley Council on the Arts as well as New York State Council on the Arts. So we're able to, you know, pay professionals for professional work and professional development. So I guess that's the other side of Breadcrumbs Productions, is that we support the sustainability and development of local and regional artists. So that's really important to us, is to kind of expand the gig economy, offered paid professional work, and uplift local and regional artists.
Yeah, well, and I think that's what you mentioned is kind of the crux of the thing, right? It's the development, but development's not, it's not just a class, right? Like if it was just a class, right? You know, and you're teaching people, oh, what is theater? How do you come up with a production? Versus it seems like it just, you know, from both of those, that there was this, like, this idea about contrast and harmony. And, like, if you're forcing, like, semi-contrasting things to come together, how do you find the harmony and the growth within the contrast? Which I find fascinating, because that is, as a food and drink nerd, right? Sometimes contrasting things elevate both. Sometimes it completely Absolutely. Shatters it. And it's fascinating to find the harmony within discordant things, like, you know, string, like a string quartet, right, is very precise, right? There's right. a precision to that. There's not, you can improvise, but there's a lot of precision, especially at like the Eastman level. While you know, something like theater, yes, is precise with remembering all the details, but you're also playing to the audience that day and that hour or that minute that things change. And I kind of love that contrast can bring a different harmony that you never would have derived on its own, or just saying, hey, let's make this harmony happen. It doesn't happen without the contrast, I think.
I think, it, you know, using the idea of food and drink pairing is actually really astute, right? Because this idea that with you know, food and drink is you want to take two different flavors, or, you know, two different ideas. And the idea should be that each of them make the other stand out a little bit more, right? It's its foil. It makes it more of itself.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of just the exploration. I really was interested in these performance persona of clown and drag artist. You know, they share a lot of the same roots in parody and social critique.
I was going to say, it's a little more of a direct harmonious thing than obviously there's a separation, but it seems like this is a little more, I'm going to say obvious, not that it's obvious, but you know, it's a direct thing that makes sense in my head. Was that something that like you saw that potential and you're like, let's try?
Yeah. So I've been interested in, I mean, I'm not a drag artist myself, but I've worked in gay bars, for over 20 years. And I, my younger brother is a professional drag artist in New York City. And, you know, I'm a big fan of RuPaul and I love supporting drag artists.
Sure.
But I'm also really interested, and I have been for a long time, in the art of clowning. And in particular, sort of European-style clowning or Russian-style clowning, and this idea that the clown is the anarchist. And I'm very interested in sort of this rich history, which both clowns and drag, or maybe sort of, I should say, cross-gender performance sort of had in both sacred rituals to modern performance art. And so the anthropological trail that each of these personas has walked, I think, are actually really interesting and similar. And I think there are some things which are obvious. Let's say like makeup, right? They both wear big makeup, but it's more than that. It's the exaggeration of the character. It's the play mm-hmm. that each of the characters gets to engage in, this subversion of norms, this sort of trickster archetype, you know, that they both embody.
Absolutely.
And then, the transformation of the artist into the persona, they both embody that. So I got really sort of nerdy, I guess, sort of about the academic side of it. And then I was like, let me just push these clowns and these drag artists in a room and not try to force them to discover the things I was excited about, but I wanted just to see what came up naturally for them. Where did they see similarities or differences? What rang true to them, or did they thought might expand their performance in a sort of professional development way? It's just been a really fun project.
Yeah, and I love that you're not forcing, like you're directing on that, like giving them the angles and saying, hey, you know, through that development, come up with your own ideas instead of you top down forcing it. It's something I really have been thinking about a lot as like we're as a podcast network, we're more of a collective, right? We're doing it equitably and like we want to be from the bottom up. And I kind of love that, like, yes, you spearhead, like you brought the idea out, but the ideas aren't yours. Like, you know, bringing, you know, facilitating it is a creative, you know, a creative pursuit in of itself, facilitating other people to be better. Is just really cool and also it's very heartening and a very positive thing to do when sometimes it can be very difficult to be positive.
Hey, I definitely understand that in the world. And so I also thought this project right now to be able to dive into something which really is in so many ways about simple joy.
Yeah.
Right. And the discovery of this very sort of like human connection, I thought it was a really lovely project for everyone to be a part of. And I think that's also why I think audiences will enjoy it so much right now.
Yeah.
Because both of these, you know, personas, the drag artist and the clown, they both sort of have this lovely shared nature of destabilizing sort of normal behavior. I think it's going to give the audience permission to sort of question cultural rules a little bit and just to relax and laugh and leave your troubles at the doorstep in a way. I think audiences are really going to be drawn to that simple joy and that human joy that's created in this production and that we've all sort of found through this process.
Yeah. So I kind of want to pivot because like, I think we've covered a lot of, you know, the process of this. I kind of want to talk, you know, there's a lot of visibility of drag right now, I think in a very good way. Well, most of the visibility in a very good way, some of it in a problematic, like not understanding the fundamental idea of it way. But I kind of want to talk about clowning because that's something that, you know, in recent years has, you know, obviously turned in a very different way than I would have expected. But I'm kind of intrigued when you were bringing clowning to, you know, to the performers, and talking about it from, you know, both a historical sense and a modern and a performing way. Were you going through the history of like Commedia dell'arte, you know, to also like, you know, famous performers to the, you know, the sad clown persona to, you know, modern usage of it. Like, I had the delightful pleasure of seeing Weird Al, one of my favorite artists of all time, and Darian Lake. And he's currently touring with Puddles the Pity Clown.
Yeah, great.
And it was a delight and like a tremendous singer, but also doing a lot of traditional clown work on the stage, but not in the like acrobatic way. And it was a tremendous performance and something that made me rethink about it, you know, because I know some of those classic things, but did you have some of those like moments where they found these angles that you didn't expect, not to tip the show, but like learning about the history and saying, oh, that angle, oh, that's clowning too?
Sure. I think in many ways, yes, drag is having a moment in pop culture right now. A lot of people know what drag is, but I actually think that the clown is quite misunderstood in sort of modern day understanding of it. And some of our drag performers have even, you know, talked about it. One of our performers, Breakfast, they were sharing with me that they, when they first started these workshops, they thought they were going to learn how to juggle and, you know, do balloon animals and, you know, which is very much a clown thing. That's sort of more of like an American style birthday clown, you know? But I think that kind of points to the fact that the rich history of clowning and what it's been from court jesters to, you know, sort of stock comic characters and commedia dell'arte, you know, in the 16th century, like it's had such an incredible and vast and wide usage that actually what clowns are now and what clowns can be are really, you know, we've talked a lot about that. An example is the style of clown Buffon. And Buffon is a specific style of clown that really isn't known very much outside of the clowning world or certainly not in America, but it's a more aggressive style of clown. And so all of these sort of nuances and niche information, yes, we did some of it and we talked about it quite a lot. We've done a lot of sort of sharing clips that we find on YouTube and various things over the summer. But I think a lot of our workshop time was spent doing, right? And because there is so much to explore and discover just in the act of doing, we spent a lot of our time there.
Yeah, I think that also makes a lot of sense for somebody who has a comfort in performing and a comfort in performing in an exaggerated way to actually go through the process is going to be a different kind of instruction versus classroom instruction, right? It's that like trying and feeling and finding, hey, maybe this angle is the one that is part of me as a person or as a performer, an angle of part of how I already performed that I can heighten. And I just did a quick search for what you mentioned for the Buffon clowning. And like, that is a whole different angle. Cause like the way it's described here is like, they were, you know, satirizing the audience and society at large in a more direct, aggressive way. And like, that is in lots of ways, even now, which is a really dumb thing to say, but like now, especially like drag is that too, right? We are putting this in front of people who are, you know, the society that can be uncomfortable with it. And we're still doing it because it is expressing something important and key to, you know, bringing society where it can and should be.
And I think that social critique is one of the really interesting things about both of these public or these performance personas, you know, these archetypes that have really looked at history and responded to history and have been the forefront of culture in a lot of ways. It was just such an honor to be able to, to do all of this research and get all nerdy about the idea, but then also to just watch them discover and play and explore. You know, one of the things that they started to really recognize was a major difference between the two characters was the concept of status. And drag artists, by and large, have a really high status, whereas the clown plays the spectrum a little bit more. Mm. The clown can sometimes be high status, but the clown can also really be find a delicious clown in low status. So that was a really fun idea to explore, which I think a lot of them started to think about in terms of their drag persona. But that was really, you know, my goal is just allow these drag artists that don't get the benefit of formalized training, right? Like that's, you don't go to school to become a drag artist, or if that program exists, I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
But you certainly do in almost every other art form, right? You can go to school, you can, so it's interesting to say, here's the opportunity to allow these drag artists to come in and just to play in a very safe environment, ask them to do something vulnerable and, you know, see what happens. And that's just been wonderful.
I mean, like the only thing I can say at this point is like, how cool is that? Like how much fun. I can see it on your face too. And hear it in the tone of your voice is just like how, like I said, how heartening of an experience to be able to facilitate that. And you'll bring something new to performers and give people the opportunity to do something cool.
Well, thanks for saying that. And you know, I think the board of Breadcrumbs Productions and the very, very, very small team at Breadcrumbs Productions, we get so excited by the opportunity to engage in regional artists and to expand art form and to offer resources. So for us, this is just, you know, hitting all the marks. It's just been such a great project.
That's awesome. So I think we're going to close out for today. Again, these shows are on Friday, September the 12th at 7, Friday the 19th at 7. Tickets are on sale at rochesterfringe.com. $22 tickets. I mean, a great price for going to be a fantastic evening both times. But Tanner, anything else that people need to know about Breadcrumbs or other ways they can find, you know, productions, or if they want to get involved, how can they do that?
Yeah, the best way to get involved with Breadcrumbs is to go to our website, breadcrumbsproductions.org. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. We, you know, have a couple of different branches within our small company. So we do productions, but we also teach classes. So if you're interested in an adult acting class or adult improv classes, we've got those on at the moment. We're teaching at The Roost, which is a new studio that just opened up in Rochester on Cumberland Street.
Oh, nice.
And we also have some classes that are be coming up in Syracuse in the fall as well. So yeah, keep up with us on online and come out to some of our events. It'd be lovely to see you.
That sounds great. And yeah, if you ever need anything around you know, podcasting or audio related stuff, seriously, let me know. I love the mission of what you're doing, and it's just really cool.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And make sure you check out all the other shows on the Lunch and Or Podcast Network. Get out for some Fringe shows, and we'll see you out on the Fringe.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch and Or Podcast Network.